You're listening to The World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. It's not every day you get to sit down with a musical genius, but Daniel Lanois is just that. He's worked on some of the most beloved albums of the last 40 years. Peter Gabriel's So, U2's The Joshua Tree and Octoon Baby, Bob Dylan's Time Out of Mind, Willie Nelson's Titro, and Emmylou Harris's Wrecking Ball. Most producers would be happy just to create one of these. But not only is Lanois a producer, he's also an artist in his own right. Following up the instrumental ambient album Speaking in Tongues, his new record, Heavy Sun, focuses on his love of gospel music. And in a time that's been filled with so much despair, it's the perfect album to interject a little hope, a little light into our lives. When I connected with Lanois for this interview, he was in his Toronto studio just out of sight, playing piano. It says a little bit about his tireless work ethic that he'd be sneaking in a chance to lay down yet another track. He'll share stories about the new album, and we'll look back on some classic albums he helped make. First, we get started with a live recording of Dance On. It's Daniel Lanois on The World Cafe.
If you feel like you wanna dance, go ahead and do your dance. Dance on,
dance on,
dance on,
dance on.
If you feel like you wanna shout, you got something that you can shout about. Shout on,
shout on,
shout on,
shout on.
And if you feel like you wanna sing, well, now singing just may be your thing. Sing on,
sing on.
Feel it in my soul, yeah.
That is Daniel Lanois and the Heavy Sun Orchestra with a live recording of Dance On. It's featured on the new album, Heavy Sun. Daniel Lanois is my guest today here on the World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Daniel, it is nice to meet. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a great honor, and I appreciate that you guys stand by the music.
This is a record that is about as perfect for the time and moment as you can get. We're trying to claw our way out of a pandemic. We're dealing with a lot of political unrest. There's a lot of unease in general. And you made a record that took us to church. What was going through your head when you decided to make Heavy Sun?
I met Johnny Shepherd, our organist, hymnologist in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm a now and again visiting guitar player in the Hallelujah Train, which is the band and choir out of the Zion Baptist Church in Shreveport. Brady Blade Sr. is the pastor, and Brian Blade, my drummer friend, is son of the pastor. So I found myself there, and I met Johnny, he made himself available to me, and I took it as a sign that it was finally time to make that great harmony singing record that I've been thinking about since I was a kid.
Were you, because obviously these songs feel like gospel songs, they're hymns. Were you a churchgoer when you were a kid? Because obviously you said inspired sort of by your youth wanting to make this record.
Yeah. Well, I did serve at the altar as a child. You know, I came up Catholic, so I was an altar boy. But what I was referring to was the many gospel records that I recorded as a young record maker. I was connected with a Christian organization that brought quartets in from all over the world to tour in Canada, and one of the stops was my studio. We make a record in 2 days. So imagine that, a Canadian kid exposed to that beautiful harmony work from all over the world. It was a very big part of my education as an arranger and somebody who has to understand harmony to make those kind of records. And when I met Johnny, I thought, well, let's hook up with Rocco DeLuca and Jim Wilson and see if we could take gospel music to the future. So that was our quest and criteria.
Futuristic gospel music. I love that. And it is focused on the vocals and harmonies. How do you make that work when you set out to do that? For example, your last album, 2016's Goodbye to Language, was an instrumental record. So this is, you know, not a complete 180, but a noticeable difference from your last album.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, Goodbye to Language was a steel guitar-based record. And this is largely organ-based. Johnny is a great organist. And I have to say that Johnny never really sang much outside of church until he joined us. So we're getting a very pure heart and a minister himself. So he said, okay, I'll make this record with you, Lanois, as long as every song has a good message. I said, okay, Johnny, we're down.
We're talking to Daniel Lanois here on the World Cafe. The new album is Heavy Sun. So writing this record that really is with positive message, how do you go about constructing a song with, you know, Jim Wilson, Rocco DeLuca, Johnny Shepherd, all coming together to make these beautiful songs?
We got together in Los Angeles, and the songs were largely co-written. Johnny, Rocco, myself, and also Jim on Power, a song called Power. We just got together regularly at my studio in Silver Lake. I maintain my position as studio rat, so I'd be working on the tracks in the control room, and the boys are in the back. I have a little patio in the back, and they were touching up some of the lyrics, and they bring them in to try them out. But we had the luxury of every Tuesday night we performed at this little club around the corner called Zebulon. So we got a chance to try out our harmonies and our arrangements in front of an audience. So it couldn't have been any better. And then the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Finding your spot in a harmony is something, you know, you hear the harmonies, you're like, that's beautiful, that's brilliant. But the work to get there is not easy at all. And sort of practicing that and getting it where everyone fits into, you know, like a puzzle.
Well, you have to be a good part singer. Johnny was a big part of all that, pardon the pun. So he was able to choose the harmonies that were best for each member of the band. But you know, you're right about that. You have to be very disciplined. It's very selfless as a process because you can't be standing out. You have to blend.
Yeah. We are talking to Daniel Lanois about the new album, Heavy Sun, and some of the great harmonies that you can hear on it. We're about to hear a live recording of Tumbling Stone. With your producer's ear, or you being the studio rat, what should we be listening for in this song?
Well, this was done live on my front porch in Silver Lake. And it has something special in it that it just rolled out, you know, in a very natural way. So this song largely came from Rocco De Luca. He had the title already. And this idea that we would be travelers, minstrels of sorts, or on our way to build a church with no walls.
Awesome. Let's take a listen. It's Tumbling Stone. It's Daniel Lanois and the Heavy Sun Orchestra, recorded live. It's the World Cafe.
Against the waves that were dashing high, yeah. My angel said to me softly and tenderly, I heard, break down, delusion. Don't you stop there, you roll on, break down, confusion.
It's a performance of Tumbling Stone, recorded live by our guest, Daniel Lanois. You can find the album version on his new record, Heavy Sun. I'm Kaleo. This is The World Cafe. You recorded the album in Los Angeles, Silver Lake, but also spent some time in Toronto working on the record. I know location can be a big part of the experience of making an album. What was special about Toronto?
Well, we came to Toronto to, I have a studio here in Toronto. So Wayne and I decided to, Wayne Lorenz, who co-produced the record with me, we decided it was time to go home because we'd been down there for almost a year. I was getting a little bit homesick, and then the pandemic didn't help. We thought, well, let's go and finish the mixes in Toronto. And that's what we did. Studio's a studio, and we can work wherever we happen to be that way, you know.
Well, I mean, expanding on the idea of location, working wherever you have to be, you've recorded in some interesting places, in a castle with you two, in a barn house with cows nearby with Peter Gabriel. Do you find there are moments where recording space makes a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, when I worked with Peter Gabriel, we were in the West Country. It was the most beautiful setting, very rural. And it made for a certain kind of concentration. I think concentration is probably the main thing that's the main ingredient. But there's no doubt, you know, the wherever you happen to be, especially culturally. I found myself in Morocco with the fellas from U2 a few years back, and that was really something special. And I'd say that some of that got into the music, you know. But concentration, devotion, that's everything.
Devotion and concentration. What type of, is that the vibe, I imagine, then, that you prefer when you're recording?
I make a point of only ever doing one thing at a time. So I only ever, when we were making the Heavy Sun record, I didn't entertain any other work. It's easy to get busy and take on too much, but I find that that kind of thing can be distractive and take away from the heart of the matter. So I've always maintained just one project at a time, as was the case with Heavy Sun.
It makes sense. There are a couple of interesting stories about recording, not necessarily related to Heavy Sun, that fascinated me. I read that, say, with Dylan on Oh Mercy, you recorded only at night, or with Neil Young, you only recorded during full moons. Is that a little bit of an urban legend?
No, it's absolutely true. In New Orleans, at a certain point, Bob said to me, let's only work at night. And the record has a nighttime feeling, and it really suits the timbre of that work. You know, you can hear the crickets chirping, the water's high, there's a soft cotton dress on the line hanging dry, all that the beautiful imagery that Bob created with his words. I think we're able to frame his lyrics very nicely with not only with that city, but by nighttime. And then Neil Young, well, he likes to record to the full moon. So day before and day after. So just 3-day sessions. And I think we had 4 of those, and that's how we made the record.
Does that ever, like, you're a producer, your goal is to help bring out this artist's vision, but working under those constraints, is that ever, do you ever feel limited, or do you know what you're signing up for when that happens?
I loved every minute of working with Neil, and I thought he was absolutely right. I believe in everything he said about the moon. Neil, you're right, man. I wouldn't dispute it, no. I think the forces at play is really what we're talking about here. And if you believe in an idea enough, I mean, the power of the moon, you know, this is not the first time that it's come up. You know, if it could change the tide of a sea, I can only imagine what it can do to a song. So Neil's right.
We're talking to Daniel Lanois. This is the World Cafe. This next live performance, Angels Watching, what we're going to hear. Can you talk a little bit about how this song came to be?
Angels Watching. It's a little groove-based song, and it's I guess it came out of a conversation with DeLuca, Shepherd, and Wilson, myself. You know, we're just hanging out and said that, isn't it nice that we have somebody watching over us? Some kind of we all believe in guardian angels, whether we're Christian or not. If there's a nice idea that somebody tap you on the shoulder and say, no, don't do that. Go over here. So we like to think that we have an angel watching over us. What are some of the lyrics now? protect me from hurt, harm, and danger. So you ask your angels to keep you out of trouble.
Do you remember the last time you felt your guardian angel tapping you on the shoulder with something to say?
Yeah, this morning.
If it's not too personal, what did they want to tell you?
More music and fewer interviews. I was at the piano. Wayne says, okay, they're ready. I just come up with a nice bridge. Do I have to leave the piano? Yes, I have to leave the piano.
Well, we really appreciate you doing that. But for future reference, just bring the interview over to the piano. We'll workshop it together.
Oh, that sounds great. That's a good idea. Well, it's next time.
Next time. I have no musical experience, so I really wouldn't be any help. But I could say that sounds great. Instead, I will say this next live performance sounds great. So everyone should listen in. It's Daniel Lanois live, Angels Watching here on the World Cafe.
Chosen, with a role to betray, oh Lord Almighty, was a mind not to, from the drifter to the watching, yeah, all day.
That is a performance of Angels Watching. You are listening to The World Cafe. That's Daniel Lanois with the Heavy Sun Orchestra. The new album is called Heavy Sun. You know, quite a spiritual record. You worked with another band known for their spiritual imagery, U2. It's the 30th anniversary of Achtung Baby. Do you have a favorite story from the making of that record?
Oh, yeah. We were in Berlin for a big part of making that record. And it was cold, and the food was not that great. So we just huddled up in the studio and kept working, and it was my favorite thing to do. We finally got everyone out of Dublin. So very few distractions, and it was a really great time. As I hear that record now, very, very rock and roll rhythm section with very fascinating tops, tops being melody, lyric, guitar parts, unusual sounds. So I was really proud of that record. And when I heard it somewhat recently, I thought, oh, we really got to the future with it, but we maintained the rock solid rhythm section.
Is there a song from the album that is particularly close to your heart?
I think the song One came out of that record. And it's one that we wrestled with for a while, and everybody had a strong contribution to it. You know, Eno, Edge, myself, worked very hard on the music part of it, juggling chord sequences around, and ultimately we found the magic combination. So I'm quite proud of it. It has a pivotal point in it about two-thirds through the song, I believe, the One Heart, One Love, or Sisters, Brothers, and has a bit of liftoff at that point. We use the term liftoff, where the hair comes up on the arm and you know you've done the right thing.
Let's make some people have the hair lift up off their arm and play a little bit of that section, if we could, from U2's Achtung Baby. It's One here on The World Cafe. That's a little bit of One from U2, produced by Daniel Lanois, our guest, and Brian Eno. This is The World Cafe. You know, you had a long and fruitful history working with Brian Eno. What sort of makes a connection? Because, you know, traditionally albums, one producer, but having two people sort of spearhead mm-hmm. working it as producer, how do you find your spots in the groove, so to speak?
Well, prior to involvement with U2, Eno and myself were working in Canada, in Hamilton, Ontario, which is near Buffalo, New York, on the Canadian side. We were making ambient records, instrumental records, and we had a really nice thing going and a very fruitful time. And we were able to take that energy and transport it to Ireland when we went to work with U2. It's just a as I look at that time, now I see it as a block of time, a real potent block of creativity. It's just something that I really had going with Eno. I really respected him, and he was able to bring a certain direction to my skills at that time that I appreciate to this day. So thank you, Brian, for making all those ambient records. And then the first U2 record has some of those sounds on it. So there it is. It was a great time of creation.
Yeah, it is really cool. And you can hear the through line between Ambient 4 and then, say, Unforgettable Fire. That's cool. One last thing on Achtung Baby, because obviously, like I said, 30th anniversary. It was a pretty contentious time for the band, particularly in Ireland. You know, what is your job as co-producer when you're watching one of the biggest bands in the world potentially implode?
I remain oblivious to it. That's the genius of it. It's like, just pretend nothing is getting in the way. and roll up the sleeve and put on the blinders and get to work. It gets talked about, I know, and but to be honest with you, I was just so into the project that I just chose to not be concerned about anything that was happening in the sidelines, you know. And it might be some kind of genius, or it might be just some kind of a obliviono.
Well, that's interesting, because yeah, I like the attitude. It's like, well, we're just here to work. I'm not focusing on that. Not going to try and solve that riddle. But on Peter Gabriel's album, So, you took a slightly different approach when there was a little bit of turmoil, particularly when it came to lyric writing. You locked Peter Gabriel in a barn. How does it come to that?
Well, I thought it was funny. Peter didn't think it was funny. But then he didn't fire me, and then we were able to laugh at it the day after. It was just a way of establishing a work ethic. And I think ultimately Peter appreciated that I was there to make as strong a record as we could together, and I wasn't about to put up with any distractions.
Well, you said, you know, commitment is what, you know, really is important when you get into the studio, and that's one way of showing it.
Absolutely, man. But, you know, in retrospect, that was a great body of work, and I love that man. Peter Gabriel's a great man. And I was there to bring my skills, my wares, my devotion, and every ounce of creativity I had. And I didn't, was not a party time. I never went into London much. I lived in a little bell tower of the farmhouse. And I just wanted to make a masterpiece with him, if we could.
You know, that's not something often producers can say, I want to make a masterpiece, and then it becomes a masterpiece, but there is no question that it is.
I think I just heard today it's being inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame as one of the greats this year. So,
congratulations! Any song in particular that stands out to this day? I mean, they're all. It's so tough with bands like U2 and Peter Gabriel because they're all great. But one that you have a particular fondness from Peter?
I like "Don't Give Up" from that record. I like them all, but
sure,
"Don't Give Up" holds a sweet position for me because of Kate Bush coming over and joining us, and it started out as this little beatbox drum beat, boom 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 boom, and that's all we had, and I was a very proud papa to see it come together in the end, and then for Kate. And the film that they made is just beautiful. You know, the two of them are like wedding cake figures spinning against the sunset, backlit by a sun. It's so pretty, very beautiful, and a great reminder about how a simple idea can be the most potent, ultimately.
Let's have our audience relive a little bit of that moment. Here is "Don't Give Up." It's Peter Gabriel on the World Cafe.
In this proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name.
A little bit of "Don't Give Up," featuring Kate Bush. It's Peter Gabriel, produced by our guest, Daniel Lanois. It's the World Cafe. The new album is Heavy Sun. There is a project that I am selfishly bringing up because it is near and dear to my heart. And it is a little bit unusual. It is 2018's video game, Red Dead Redemption 2. For a moment, I thought this might be outside of World Cafe's wheelhouse. But then I looked, the game has sold over 30 million copies, which is more than any album sold in the last 25 years. And that means it's a lot of young people's introduction to your music. You produced the soundtrack, which features solo songs from you, collaborations you did, and your music is featured throughout the game alongside Woody Jackson's score. I am curious what that experience was like working in a brand new medium as demanding as video games.
I love my mates at Rockstar Games. I happen to be doing a show in New York City, and I got a call about stopping into their office. And Wayne Lorenz and I did that, and we hit it off with these people. I thought, well, they're at the forefront of a medium here. And that's what record making had for me. And it, when I started out as a kid, everything was really exciting and fresh. And I felt that freshness and excitement in their presence. And I decided to jump on board with this. It started out as a scoring invitation, and then it went into more songs. And they said, can we get Willie Nelson? Will you write a song with Willie Nelson? I said, okay, let me call Willie. He agreed, but then was stuck in Hawaii because there was a hurricane. And so I wrote the song myself, but I ended up recording Willie in his house in Los Angeles. He just rolled out of bed, came downstairs. We did it in 20 minutes, and he went back to bed.
It's a truly incredible moment in the game. If for people who are following along with the story, there's this, very sad moment that happens in the narrative, and you're going through this period of isolation, and over the soundtrack, over the natural ambience, this song from Willie Nelson comes on. It's pretty remarkable. Let's take a little bit of a listen to Cruel World, a song that we just found out took 20 minutes. It's the World Cafe.
Cruel, cruel world, must I go on? Cruel, cruel world, I'm moving on. I've been living too fast, and I've been living too long. Cruel, cruel world, I'm gone. This big old world sure got me running around.
That is Willie Nelson with Cruel World here on World Cafe. It was written and produced by our guest, Daniel Lanois. The new album is Heavy Sun, and we have a recording to get to called Out of Sight. Tell us a little bit about this.
Out of Sight is a title that Rocco DeLuca, my good friend Rocco, came up with. Can I tell you about the vocal recording technique for the nerds out there?
I absolutely would love to geek out, and so would our audience, so please.
Okay, normally in studios, the control room is separated from the performance room, and the singers will be behind glass, maybe wearing headphones, let's say. But we did it differently. I invited the singers to come to the console with me, so right in the control room, and Wayne Lorenz set us up with four microphones, and they're handheld Shure microphones, and we worked stanza at a time. So we would learn our parts for one stanza, and with no headphones, the music lightly coming through the speakers, our vocals just acoustically in the room. So no amplification of the voices means that we have better pitch. So we're blending as a little quartet, quite close together, but each one of us with a microphone. And so we'd record a stanza, play it back, I'd bring up the volume of the vocals, and we either had it or we didn't. We'd learn from our blend and say, maybe hold that note a little longer, Rocco, try a higher part, and so on. And so we were able to self-arrange our vocals right away and make the corrections we wanted to make. And once we had a stanza, we'd move it on to the next one. So that's how this one was built, Out of Sight.
Let's hear it. It's Out of Sight here on the World Cafe.
The cold after the rain, the sun comes on through shining. Against the night, I count my blessings. Oh, what does not kill me,
don't you know,
will make me strong. A king may take a meadow, but the bird, she gives a song in the stillness of the midnight. I hear so near and so soul and all of its fullness. So please open my eyes to see the light so near yet so far. Out of sight. Please open my eyes to see the light so near and so far out of sight.
Ooh. That is Out of Sight. That is Daniel Lanois and the Heavy Sun Orchestra, recorded live. This is the World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. The new album is Heavy Sun. Daniel, it has been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you and to hear about some of your many musical tales. Thanks again for being here. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
That's Daniel Lanois. We'll be back in a moment with more World Cafe.